Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Dave. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to induce Brother Patterson tonight. Praise the Lord. You come and preach for us again. We haven't figured out how long you've been coming here. We did that last year.
1994.
Yep, that's right.
That was the first year.
Praise the Lord.
I looked it up today.
All right. Hallelujah. That's a few years ago.
Yep. The only year I'm missing, I was here, but I didn't write anything down, was 2019. So, Brother Kramer, you keep me in line. If I preach something I preached before, don't worry about it. I'll probably preach it again. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5 with me tonight, please. The book of Romans in chapter 5. I have not preached this here before because these are new messages I preached this morning, but we're going to continue with the same thought that we had this morning on God's amazing grace. Right. On God's amazing grace. I think you can preach on, I could probably preach on this theme all week long, preacher, every night, and you can never wear it out. You know, you'll never get beyond, you don't have enough time to preach all about the grace of God.
Yeah.
That he has. But here in Romans chapter 5, and if you begin with me, I'm going to ask if you'd stand if you can, please. And I want to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 5, where he says this: "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access to, by faith, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Can you imagine that? Glory in tribulations, difficulties, hardships, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the atonement. We ought to be thankful for God for the atonement of the grace of God. Because he says in verse 2 again, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Father, thank you again. Thank you for the prayers that have all gone up today, Father, for this meeting tonight. God, for those things that have been prayed for, God, we ask your blessing. Ask you to help us tonight again, Father, to glean something from your word that will help each one of us, your children. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I begin tonight on the thought of amazing grace again, let me remind you one more time that if you think the grace of God is your excuse to live a sinful life, then you are not living by grace, but you are living by deception. You have grace. You never lose the grace that God has given to you, but you can live outside of the grace of God in your life. That means you're not obeying the things of God as a child of God. We need to make sure that God is working in us continually, and that we are giving to him what he wants us to do and living for him the way he wants us to live. Well, we looked this morning, amazing grace is because it was before the world began, because it was given to all. It's amazing because it was given for a purpose, because it justifies, because it helps in times of need. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And then it's an abounding grace, and it's a saving grace. But why is it such an amazing grace? Well, tonight I will look at a couple of verses with you. Would go to me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of you probably know where I'm already going to start with, but the first one is this: it's an amazing grace because it is a sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. You remember Paul said, "I prayed three times for this infirmity to be removed from me." Some think, Pastor, that might have been something to do with his eyesight. I don't know. I think it probably was. I don't know if anybody can just nail that down and say that's what it was. But, you know, Paul saw Jesus Christ on the road to to the road to Damascus and fell on his face before him and was literally blind for a while. And they think that this has something to do with that. He said, I prayed that these things. And watch what he says. And he said, speaking about God, and he said to me, unto me, my grace, this is what God tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, boy, my strength, Paul, my strength in your life, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then he goes on to say this. Paul says then, in the rest of that verse, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I what? Strong. When I am weak, then am I strong, or I am strong. So it's a amazing grace, because it is a sufficient grace. No matter what you go through in your life, his grace will help you get through. I don't care. Well, I just talked to you about my son-in-law this morning, and the only way he could go through what he went through is this surgery that he just had, major surgery, was because of the grace of God. Went through with a smile on his face, you know. Well, Lou Dopey, when he came out of surgery, of course, he'd been dopey anyway his whole life, but Lou Dopey when he came out of surgery, but he's doing so good, amen. But he had a smile on his face the whole time. Before he went into surgery and when he came out of surgery, because God was working in his heart and his life, amen. It's a sufficient grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. We're not sufficient of ourselves, amen. To think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You won't go through anything that someone else has not already gone through. Sometimes we think, oh, woe is me. Oh, poor me. Oh, how come I'm going through this? Somebody else has already gone through it. He said, listen, there hath no temptation in you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Some people say, I just had to give in. No, we don't have to give in to sin. All right, we don't have to give in to the temptation. He says, I'll give you a way of escape. When it comes, when you're tempted above that, ye are able, your own strength, you cannot do anything about it. He says, I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to help you to bear underneath it, and that you may be able to bear it. No matter what happens, you can bear up underneath the things that come your way. Why? Because God is gone. His grace is so amazing that he wants to do everything for you that he can to keep you where you ought to be, so you recognize that his grace is sufficient for you. Amen? His grace is sufficient for you. By the way, if his grace wasn't sufficient for you, then you couldn't have got saved. Amen? Because you can't save yourself. It had to be by the grace of God, through faith working in your heart, that brought you to that moment of salvation. And then not only is it a sufficient grace, but look with me at 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter in chapter 3, just for a moment, please. 2 Peter, and let me get myself over there, in chapter 3. Over in 2 Peter in chapter 3, here's what we read. Beginning with me down to verse 17, he says this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Ye know therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, you're not talking about falling from grace. You're talking about falling from that position where you're at with God and your walk with the Lord. You feel like he's left you. He's not left you. He's with you all the way. Confess, get it right with God. But then he says in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's a sufficient grace, but it's also a growing grace. We talked about that in Sunday school a little bit this morning on a couple of thoughts about growing in Christ, growing in these things. He says here again, but grow in grace. That's a command from the Holy Spirit. That's a command from God, that we be obedient and grow in the very grace of God as a child of God. How can we grow in the grace of God if we're not in the Word of God? Amen? How can we grow in the grace of God if we're not in the house of God? How can we grow in the grace of God if we're watching things that that pull our mindset away from the grace of God? Amen? I think television's getting worse and worse, brother. You can't even watch ABC, NBC, CBS without some wicked, stinking commercial coming across there. And if you're not careful, it'll get your attention. It'll cause you to be thinking what you ought not to be thinking. Amen? I'm telling you, it's getting bad today. And boy, then if you have any kind of a channel on cable TV or any kind of free internet or whatever, it's terrible, amen. We got to be so careful that we protect our families and protect ourselves and protect our minds alone as believers in Jesus Christ, amen. He says, newborn babes in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow by. Well, how many of you, when you had your children, watch that mother feed that child, amen. And we couldn't wait for that bottle, you know. Our girl's a little bit different than our son. When our son was hungry, baby, wah, that'd be it, man. Stick that nipple from that bottle in his mouth and he'd shut right up. And I tell you what, and he's still, when he's hungry, he still shoots off his mouth, amen. I'm hungry, feed me. No, just kidding, amen. But, you know, we need to grow in the grace of God the same way. We have to desire that sincere milk. We have to be crying out to God to fill us with His Word, spiritually food, spiritually feeding us as believers in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's part of your growth, increasing in the knowledge of God. It's a growing grace, increase in the knowledge of God. You might know some things about God. Amen. Praise the Lord, you're memorizing John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Amen. And chapter 5, verse 36. And chapter 5, I just forgot what verse it was, but, you know, it'll come back to me here in a minute. And, you know, and maybe Romans 5, 8. Amen. It's another one that goes right in that spot when you get down there. And so they're all good verses to memorize. But, you know, you can memorize some verses, but not be growing in the grace of God. Because you have to have more. That memorization is good because it will help you be a witness, help you do what you need to. But we need more as believers in Jesus Christ than just memorizing a few verses. Amen? We do. Preacher, you know that. I know you preached that here before. Amen? He ain't no slouch of a preacher. Amen? He ain't just coming in here and giving you some little sermonette on Sundays. I'll guarantee you, because I've read some of his material, read some of his books, I read his penny pulpit, and I come under conviction with that stinking thing, brother. Thank you, amen. It's not a stinking thing. It's a blessing, amen. Because there's some things you bring out in that I've not seen before. Like, God, how did I miss that? How come I'm not that smart, you know? And God said, well, I didn't make you that smart. Do what you got, amen. We just need to be faithful to God. Grow in His grace. That we might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, be fruitful in every good work. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Why? How's their charity aboundeth? Because they're great, their faith growth exceedingly. And we're commanded to grow. It's an amazing grace because it's a growing grace. God will help you grow if you get in His Word. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That we may grow up in all things, amen. And it's growing up in the things of the very Word of God. And we get beyond just being saved. We get beyond just being baptized. We get beyond just being church members. We grow in the grace of God. There ought to be more in your life today than there was the day you got saved. Amen? And boy, I tell you, once you get saved, baptized, and start attending a church, you ought to be growing as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, there comes a time, sometimes I showed you in Sunday school, where doldrums come in our life. Amen? And we get hung up. We get stagnated. We get where we don't move. And we just... We can get beyond that. Just get in His Word. Get in church. Follow the things of the Lord. And then not only is it a growing grace, but it is a showing grace. A showing grace. Look at Acts chapter 11 with me for just a couple of moments. The book of Acts in chapter 11. Over in Acts in chapter 11, down to verse 19, We read this. Now, the Bible says this, chapter 11, verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the only unto the but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He wasn't even there yet. Now he comes, he sees the grace of God, that they might cleave to the Lord, working in their heart, working in their life. By the way, when people run into you and meet you, they ought to see the grace of God in your life. When people walk in this door back here, visitors walk in this door, they ought to see the grace of God in your lives. Amen. They ought to see God working, doing something in here, in your heart. And they ought to see the love of God. And they ought to experience the love of God from you. Amen. As believers in Christ. Why? Because you are showing the very grace of God that's taking place in your life. And you're trying to extend that to somebody else, that they might come get what you have, that they might be able to do the same thing eventually. Because it's a showing grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6 says this: We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, amen. The love which ye have toward all saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard, that before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Boy, there needs to be a showing grace in your lives. Amen. Boy, somebody just walking here, when they walk out, they would say, I see God's grace working in the hearts of the children in this church. Amen. Well, some have taken that term grace of God, they say, I live under grace, and they've misused a pastor over the years. Amen. Grace never excuses sin in a believer's life. Amen. Never excuses sin in a believer's life. And not only is it a showing grace, but it is a going grace. A going grace, amen. You see where you get that? Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And begin with me, if you would please, in verse 24. Acts 14, verse 24. It says, And after they had passed throughout Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended, they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of the faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. So the Bible says here, it says they were recommended to the grace of God for the work of the ministry. Can I tell you this? When you got saved, you were recommended by the grace of God for the work of the ministry. It might not be pastoring, might not be a missionary, might not be evangelism, but you are to be a witness to those who are around you, no matter who they are, no matter how long you've known them, or no matter how long you have not known them. Amen. We need to do our part as the children of God. It's a going grace. It's a grace that we need to show out as believers in Christ. He says in Acts chapter 15, verse 36 to 41, And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Well, that probably would have bothered me too, preacher. Amen. And Paul was a pretty hard individual. Amen. And if Paul was here preaching today, we probably wouldn't want to hear him. Amen. I'm just serious. If Paul was here today preaching, we probably would not want to hear him, because he cut no slack. He just preached, and he let it. Well, he just let it rip. Amen. He was not afraid of those who were around him. He said that Barnabas went not to Pamphylia to do the work, Pamphylia, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, watch, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. It doesn't say that Barnabas and Mark were recommended by the grace of God. But here, and I'm not saying they weren't, but here it points very clearly that Paul and Silas were recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicilia confirming the churches. Amen. I want to tell you what, my friend. It's important to be going God's direction, to be moving the way God would have us to move, to be doing what God would have us to do, and keeping ourselves out of the way, but letting God have all the honor and all the glory, that He might accomplish what He wants through us, not because of us, but because of Him. Amen. You know, He doesn't need us to do anything. He chose us through salvation to be a witness for Him upon this world. If God wanted to, He could come down, He could stand on the earth right now and He'd say, believe in me or reject me. Don't believe? Bang. Believe? Up. I mean, if that's how He wanted to do it. But He gave people an option to be saved by His wonderful grace, that they might experience what we have. Amen. We need to show the grace of God in our lives. Then look at me at 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, because it's also not just a going grace, but it's a giving grace. It's a giving grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm just going to look at a couple of verses with you here. I know this church, can I make this statement, is a giving church. Amen. I believe it's a giving church. I believe you give. I believe some of you sacrifice and you give abundantly. You do. But he says in this text, it's a giving grace. Because watch what he says. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Well, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Well, watch what grace he's talking about. How that in the great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The grace that he's talking about in verse 8 is this grace of giving. You see how you know that, Brother Mike? Because you look down to verse 7 with me. He goes on to say, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love toward us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's not talking about the grace of fellowship here. He's not talking about the grace that they're extending to somebody else for being nice to them. He's talking about the grace of giving. That we need to be the givers that God would have us to be as believers in Jesus Christ. I pulled into a, I'm not going to brag about this, but I want to show you what happened to me. You ever argue with God? Well, you can be honest, amen. I have, amen. So, I remember years ago, I was in a church service back in New Lyme, Ohio, before I ever went into the ministry. And I had $20 in my pocket. That's all I had. And that was good money then, amen. I could fill my gas tank 4 or 5 times with that, amen. And so, and, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money, but sitting in the church service, some missionaries in there in our church in New Lyme, Ohio, New Lyme Baptist Church, or Pastor Don Bennett was there years ago, and they were going to take up an offering for the missionary. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, give them half of what you have. Put a $10 bill in. And I'm there, and I argue. And in my heart, I said, I only have 20. The next thought that came to my mind was put 20 in. I don't argue with God, amen. It don't do me any good. By the way, it ain't going to do you any good. Here's another argument. I was at Wendy's Christmas, right before Christmas. It was about a week before Christmas, and we were up home in Michigan where we live now. And I'm pulling out, and I went through Wendy's to get a hamburger and a chili before I had a lot of stuff going on that day. And as I'm pulling up, the Lord says, I'm telling, just like He's talking to me, speaking to my heart, and He says to me, when you pay the bill, give her the money left in your pocket. So I paid the bill and I reached in and I pulled out $20 and handed it to her. Drove around the building, started eating my food, and the Lord said, I told you to give her all the money in your pocket. By the time I got out of there, she got $78 off of me, amen. She started weeping at the window. Right after Christmas, I received a Christmas card from her in the mail. I gave her one of my tracts. And in that Christmas card, she wrote this. She says, you had no idea. My husband's left me. Two children raising him. I want to make it McDonald's. Could not afford to get him anything. Thank you so much for the gift. Because God used that. Amen. What a... Isn't that a blessing? And that's not me. I tell you what, I mean, I needed that money. Well, I thought I needed it. Amen. Amen. But that's God. So we see it's a giving grace. We need to learn the grace of God and how we ought to give as believers in Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that for you to give me some phenomenal offering this week. Understand that. If you couldn't give me anything, I would still be here preaching the same thing. Amen, preacher? I'm not going to quit preaching just because of money. Never could, never will, never should. Amen? I'm just saying that this is what we need to be. This is what I need to be. This is what you need to be. Giving by the grace of God, because it's a going grace and it's a giving grace. And then I want to show you one more. It's a knowing grace. A knowing grace. Look at me, if you will, down to chapter 8 again of 2 Corinthians 8:8. In verse 8 and verse 9, it says this, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what? Might be rich. So you look at verse 8 again, and he said that you may prove the sincerity of your love, for ye know that the grace of our Lord, ye know that the grace of our Lord, that's the grace of God. Jesus Christ giving himself for you 100% upon the cross of Calvary. And you know that. We know that. Amen. If you're saved, you know that. We might not yet understand all that. There's some things I read in the Bible, preacher, I don't understand, but I believe because it's the Bible. I just accept it because that's what the Bible says. Amen. I know a young man who was just talking the other day, found out that I'm surprised because his dad's an evangelist, a good, strong preacher. The boy left home, got married. He went to the service, come back, got married, and goes to a different church now and does not believe in the seven-day literal creation. I don't know if he believes about Noah's Ark, because I said, you ever been to Noah's Ark? No, and he just starts laughing, smiling like, but I don't think he believes the Bible anymore. Amen. That's sad. That's sad. We need to believe what the Word of God says. Amen. By the way, I'm a 6 day create and 1 day of rest. Seven, literally 24 hour days. That's what the Bible says. Not only there, it says in Isaiah 24. Literally, when you study it out, it's going to come up to you to understand it's a 24 hour, 7 days. Amen. When God created the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day, we're only what? Coming up to 7,000 years old. Woo! Amen. I'm waiting for that. Yeah. I'm waiting, amen. I can't wait for the Lord to come back, amen. Well, look at 8, verse 7 again. Now, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Let's believe in the giving grace. Let's believe in the knowing grace. Let's believe in the going grace. Look at Philippians in chapter 3 with me just for a moment. Philippians in chapter 3. Over Philippians in chapter 3, down to verse 10, the Bible says this. It says, that I may, what? Know him. And the power, what? That I may know him. That I may, what? Know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, we're saved. We know him in that way. But do we know him in the relationship that he wants us to grow to a point where we know him? More than just saying we know him? more than just saying I'm growing. No, we need to come to that point in our life that when we read something in the Bible and God speaks to our heart, we need to immediately, when we see that, we need to immediately pray. If it's something we need to get right with God. If it's something we need to change, we need to change that. That's knowing Him, because He's working in your heart continually. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And when somebody preaches and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, do something about it, because that means you're getting closer in knowing Him more and more and more and more. There's more to your salvation than just being saved and sitting in church. I told you that this morning. You grow in the very grace of God. Amen. And that's for you. And that's for me. Not just you, that's for me. And I can tell you when I'm stagnant. Amen. I can tell you when I hear preaching and I don't want to go up, preacher, because I'm afraid what somebody else might think. I learned a long time ago, I said, forget that. The Lord speaks my heart, I'm just going, amen. I'm just going to get things right with Him. Get it settled once and for all. But it's a knowing grace. Now, sitting in here tonight, looking, everyone in this room, I believe, knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen? Amen? Are you saved? You saved? Tell me. You saved? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're not, boy, then you'll just lie. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I believe you're saved. Amen. I've heard your testimonies many times sometimes. Well, after 17 years, you begin to understand testimonies and hear them, amen, over and over again. Well, then we need to know Him. I want to know Him more than I've ever known Him in my life. I hate to look back my 49 years. I got to say, there's so many times I've wasted my life. So many times I've wasted my time. So many times I just put the Lord off. I don't want that. Amen. I want to know Him. Not just in salvation, but know Him. Why? That I might grow in the very grace of God more and more and more abundantly. Amen. Before I was saved, I was abundantly in sin. After I was saved, the superabundance of God took over. We need to grow more and more and more, knowing Him more, more and more. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know where you're at as a child of God. I don't ever pretend to know where anybody's at. I know where my heart's at many times. I know where I'm not right with the Lord. I know where I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. I'm not sure where you're at. Let me just put it this way. The Lord speak to your heart tonight. The Lord speak to your heart. Can I pray for you? Anybody else, slip your hand up in the air and say that with me. The Lord, God bless you, amen. Other, God bless you, amen. Others, how about it? The Lord spoke to my heart tonight. Let's be honest. God bless you, amen. Let's be honest. Anybody else tonight? The Lord spoke to my heart tonight. God bless you, amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor in just a minute. I'm going to pray for you. And then turn it over to him. Let him handle it how he wants. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful grace. God, it's so amazing that you would save us, Father. So amazing then you'd want us to grow and to love and to learn about you. God, help us, Father, to continue to grow in your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your understanding, Father, of us, saving us regardless of who we are, and saving us, knowing what we would be, saving us, knowing what we should be and are not, Lord. You still saved us. Thank you, Father. What a wonderful grace you've given to each one of us. Father, I pray now that you'd have your will and your way in this invitation. Father, as you spoke to hearts, Lord, that we'd not be afraid to step forward and take care of those things between you and us. You'd have all the honor and glory now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Pastor.
Let's just take a moment in prayer again as the instruments play, that we begin just take time to seek the Lord again and to bring requests, but more so again to bring surrender to Him. seated and to pray, again, if you want to come to an altar, it's open. Thank you that we could meet tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you again for your power, your word. Thank you again, Father, that we could meet around it. Pray that you'd tug on hearts. Hear each prayer that's been whispered tonight. Touch each life. Touch each prayer request as we bring them to you, Father, that you'd again just touch. Thank you we could begin our week in worship of your Son. Pray that you'd touch and bless now as we step off into a new week. Bring us back at the appointed time, and we'll praise you again and thank you, Father, for your hand on our lives, even tonight. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock if you could be here. Go ahead and do that. I said something about a 10 o'clock prayer meeting. I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning, and so I will not be able to be here. But let's just determine that we're going to pray for these services and keep them in our prayers all this week and pray again for God's hand moving. Pray for every member of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We've got several, again, on our prayer list for medical needs. Let's bear them up in prayer as well. Let's stand and dismiss with a favorite chorus. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being in church tonight. There are goodies in the back.